We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's up, Atlanta? I am Tanitra Batiste with Jarvis Davis. Welcome to 2021 and welcome to the show. Happy New Year, Dylan. Happy New Year, Jarvis.
Happy New Year to you. I feel like I haven't talked to you since last year, so it's been a very, 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 very long time.
Yes,
so,
and that's because you haven't.
Right. That's how I feel. You know, right. You're the homie, so I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, we usually check in once, twice a week. We usually head up to Flowery Branch, but just because of the holidays, it's been, you know, kind of quirky in that regard. But yeah, excited for a new year. Not really thinking of it like everybody else, like, oh, God, so, you know, 2020 is over. I mean, I'm glad it's over, but, I mean, it was only, like, 2 days ago. So, you know, we're still in the same week. But
that's how this year goes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, catch me at the end of this month or the end of the quarter or midway through the year and let's see how we're rolling. But it's still always exciting to have a new year kind of, if you have any New Year's resolutions real quick or any new goals that you've set.
Well, I haven't written them down, but I'm just in my mind. I'm getting back into the gym. I went this morning, got me a nice workout in. I got me some extra help pills wise, and you know we're gonna make it do what it do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's me. I've got a combo thing going on too, Jarvis. I'm right there with you. You know, I stayed in the gym throughout 2020, once we were able to go back in, but that the 3 days, just, you know, once you're grown, man, 3 days is not enough. Like, you need that fourth day, or you need that fourth something, supplement or whatever it is that you need. But yeah, I've got goals, obviously. You've got goals, obviously. You know who else has goals? And I'm loving the goals they have, and I'm loving that they're delivering on the goals. That's the Hawks. They moved to 4-1 on the season after splitting a series with the Nets in Brooklyn with that 114-96 win last night. DeAndre Hunter and Trae Young, oh my, led the way to ensure that we would not see what we had seen on Wednesday night. They finished this time.
You know what? And the one thing that I've always kind of just really admired about professional players is when they recognize what it is they need to get better with. And then they put those goals, like you said, they put those goals into place, and those same goals align with the organization as a whole as well. So to see guys like Trae Young not have to drop 40 or 50 points to get a win, and to see them just kind of gradually just turn into what they want to turn into, and that's a playoff team. And I think what we saw on Friday is – this is a playoff team, and I don't think there's no question about that. I think it's just a matter of now, like, okay, are they a 7 or 8 seed, or are they a 6 or 5 seed? That's something we're going to have to find out.
Right, and we also saw just another one of those phenomenal performances from DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish, those guys really working together to be able to hold Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant in check collectively, and Lloyd Pierce talked about it after the game.
A hell of a matchup in Kyrie and KD. And, you know, I think if anything, coming into the game, they know they have their margin of error is very slim against elite scorers like that. And I think it helps them with that type of focus contribute on the other end as well. And, you know, we don't see guys like that on a nightly basis that, you know, they're just all world scorers. But I think it's really done a lot for their confidence on both ends of the floor having to play against guys like that.
Yeah, that, and let me go ahead and just say this now. I think that Lloyd Pierce is doing a pretty solid job of putting guys on the floor that work well together. And I know we're only, what, 5 games in, they're 4-1.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I think that when you think about the combinations, because putting DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish on the floor at the same time, that's, I would have never thought of that. And to see those guys just develop and the way they've developed, well, he dropped 23 points on 9 of 10 shooting. And then on top of that, getting the, oh, yeah, go ahead and guard Kyrie and Kevin Durant while right, you're right. at it, too. So, and to see that in a second-year player, to be given that responsibility, man, this, I'm trying not to get too excited to you because, you know, this is the hometown team, and they kind of moved me a certain way. But, yeah, this is going to be an exciting season for sure.
Absolutely. And for them to be able to keep Kyrie and KD essentially holding them to 46 points combined in last night's game, but then for DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish to then combine for 35 points themselves and then add to that what they were doing on the boards, combined 13 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, if you will, and also keeping that margin of turnovers down. That was something that had plagued the Hawks a lot last season as well. To see them really get those numbers down, that's great. And they're going to need that kind of effort tonight because, hey, they've got the Cavs. And granted, the Cavs have a couple people down, Isaac Okoro, Kevin Love, Matthew Dellavedova not playing tonight. But the Hawks are going to be without Danilo Gallinari and Rajon Rondo themselves. But, yeah, another matchup, Colin Sexton, Andre Drummond will be playing, so definitely those guys will have their hands full, but definitely expect to see some good things out of Clint Capella being able to handle Andre Drummond after he had his best half of the season during his time here with the Hawks in Friday's game. So another team that was a gift that kept on giving on Friday, Georgia. Georgia, and I know Randy Mack is always excited when something like that happens, when he can see his team battle back. And that 24-21 win over Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl, especially impressive in what the defense was able to do in terms of how Cincinnati really had their number, so it seemed, through 2.5 quarters. And then finally that Georgia defense that was down, 10 starters, finally they were able to especially come off the edge. You saw Azeez Ojulari just have an amazing game. He alone, 3 of the 8 sacks for Georgia, including, of course, the strip sack that really, really turned the tide for that game.
Yeah, that was. I think he was the catalyst for this team, right? And the fact that he got the defensive MVP of the game, I think it's no surprise. And I tweeted out after the game, I was like, young man, go to the NFL.
Yes.
It is time. It is time. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's 3 years removed, but I think that the way he played and basically, you know, in tying a record for most sacks in the game, along with David Pollock, and we know how dominant of a player David Pollock was when he played. So to be able to put your name in that same conversation as a guy like that, like number 47, yeah, you're doing some pretty good things. So I'm interested to see what Ojulari does on the next level. And I thought coming into this season, watching the first couple of games, I said this guy has the tools. He has the tools to be able to get to that next level and be successful. And some people are already saying that he's a possible first-round pick. So, man, shoot them deuces and say goodbye to Athens, my friend, and go get paid.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because he's the guy. We heard a lot about Richard LeCount, and certainly Richard had an amazing season on hand before the accident, the motorcycle accident. But
right.
Azeez Ojulari was, I don't want to say under the radar, but I'll say it was a quiet ascent this entire season. And literally, I was just kind of looking online. I'm always kind of looking and interested to see what happens before a bowl and after a bowl. And yes, he was always projected to be maybe low or late first round, maybe early second round. Guy vaulted himself right into the conversation of the early first round as an edge rusher. And, you know, there are certain teams, even maybe one locally, who, hey, they don't want to go for a quarterback. Yeah. You know, they might want to go for that edge rusher, that game-changing edge rusher that they've been missing for so long. But, yeah, Georgia, just an amazing way to see the Dogs fight back and battle back.
I think one of the reasons, though, why he kind of had a quiet ascent to, you know, way to – That nice climax that he had at the end of the season in this bowl game, I think it's because what was going on with the offense.
Yes.
It was so many conversations about quarterbacks and DeJuan Mathis and JT Daniels and
Jamie Stetson Newman.
Bennett is the greatest thing ever. Yes. Now he's a bum.
Like, yeah.
You know, no, he probably was a fifth string quarterback before, you know, before he started making those plays against those low level SEC teams. But I think that with all of that going on, it a lot of this stuff can be oversighted because, you know, with Todd Monken coming in as the offensive coordinator and trying to find the guy that can run his offense, I think that was one of the main reasons why they got kind of the flew under the radar and shoot. And when you have the way he played yesterday, I think that you have to pay attention for sure.
Yeah, you do. And like you said, it was such an as-the-world-turns situation with Georgia's offense the entire year that maybe some of those players like an Azeez Ojulari flew under the radar. But I will say this before we wrap up with the Falcons, that JT Daniels, he got it in on that game-winning drive. You got to give it to him, 5-for-7 for 44 yards, and Jake Pelezny's 53-yard field goal. Shout out to the walk-on who had one job and actually did it. Falcons have one more job themselves. They've got to try to get over the hump and beat the Bucs on the road. What can they do to stop a red-hot Tom Brady? You know, he led 5 straight scoring drives in that second half of the Falcons' loss when the Bucs came back down 17 and ended up winning that game. Of course, they're going to be without Alex Mack. They're going to be without Julio Jones again. What in the world can they do tomorrow to stop that red hot team? And granted, the Bucs are going to be down some people as well. They're going to be down Shaq Barrett, Devin White, Carlton Davis. But where do the Falcons go in terms of trying to finally get that fifth W this season?
They have to score and continue to score. And the way they've been scoring is giving the ball to 18. Continue to get the ball to Calvin Ridley. And, you know, he's on like 5-game 100-yard receiving streak right now.
Yep.
Continue to feed the beast. Feed the beast and figure it out and see where it goes. I mean, obviously, you want them to get the run game going, but, you know, that's been something we've been saying all season. And it's been up and down. And for the most part, it's been inconsistent and not productive. So, Matt just going to have to sit back there and throw the ball 40 times and see what happens.
And see what happens. And maybe if you can't get your running backs into the run game, maybe throw them a few passes out of the backfield. And hey, who knows? No White, no Barrett. Maybe that'll give Matt Hennessy and the O-line a little bit of breathing room. Maybe get that run game going. We shall see. Of course, pregame coverage kicks off at 11 a.m. on Sunday right here on 92.9 The Game. And when we come back, let's talk about number one, putting to bed, being ranked number 11. It's Tanitra Batiste and Jarvis Davis, and this is the show right here on 92.9 The Game.
More of the show now. Here's Tanitra and Jarvis on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Fields from his 36, cranks and fires deep. Down the left side, inside the 10. Olave got it for a score. Chris Olave runs under a deep ball and hauls in a touchdown pass from Justin Fields. A 56-yard scoring strike. And Ohio State's lead is increased by 6 more points to 41-21 over Clemson.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Man, Justin Fields. It is the show. I am Jarvis Davis. I got my co-host with me, Tanitra Batiste, holding it down, taking you all the way up to 7 o'clock. And if you want to text us, give us a text or give us a call at 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. But Tanitra, I think something was pretty happened pretty significant last night.
Do tell.
And yes, I did. For Justin Fields to throw for 385 yards, six touchdowns. Yeah, one interception. Had a little blip on the screen, but six touchdowns. I think a lot of people were shocked in awe of what we saw last night, as if this guy has never been great before. And I had a pretty big issue with that.
So do I, because that makes me feel like people have selective amnesia on 2019. If you look back at his, and don't get me wrong, his 2020 numbers are great as well. You're talking about
he was a Heisman candidate.
A quarterback who is a Heisman candidate this year, was in the conversation last year as well. This year, nearly 2,000 yards. And we're talking about 21 touchdowns to just six interceptions, a rating of 186.7.
And it's not seven games.
Because that's just in seven games. And then we talk about 2019. And it was 73% completion rate, by the way. And then you talk about 2019, 67% completion rate, almost 3,300 yards, and a 181 rating. So this is not a fluke. This is something that he's been doing all along. He's been progressing to this all along. And listen, there's something to be said, like we said before we headed out to the break, there's something to be said about when you are on a mission. So if you tell number one, Justin Fields and his team, that the best you think they are is number 11. And they were already impassioned about getting back at you, Clemson, from last year's 29-23 loss in the semifinal game. What did you think was going to happen? This is the game that they wanted. They got exactly what they wanted. And then from what they thought they should have done last year, they did it with authority this year.
And I don't think it helps that the head coach of the team talking about how, you know, this is they should be ranked 11th. But here's the thing, like another thing that really bothers me is Dabo Swinney. He bothers me on the regular anyway, just because I just think he's a snake oil salesman. And that's my personal opinion. He's done nothing but prove that throughout this pandemic and social and racial injustices and all that stuff. But that's a whole nother show. But I think that when you go to the links to vote them as number 11, because you know people are going to find out about it, right?
Sure.
You do that. And people looking at Ohio State all year saying, you know what? Even though they only played six games, we knew that they were one of the top four teams in the country.
Yeah.
Hands down. And mostly because of who they have at quarterback. But to then say, on top of that, well, they are a great team they are a really good team, and they have the abilities that they just kind of deserve to be in the playoffs. But why did you vote for them 11th then?
Yeah, don't try to walk it back.
True, right. It's like if all that is true, you said that, you know, from a contextual standpoint, try to put it in context. But so why add that other little caveat to it? Because you felt some type of way. And I think it was because he knew that they probably were better than them.
Yeah, and be careful. With that,
right?
Because pride does come before the fall, and you probably were feeling yourself because you're
right.
thinking, hey, we're Clemson. This was, you know, we've beaten them and over and over and over again. The first four meetings, including two previous college football playoff games. So you're thinking to yourself, you know, chest poked out. We got this. We got our guy Trevor Lawrence back. We're ready.
They just spanked Notre Dame, which means absolutely nothing.
Right.
From a Power 5 standpoint.
I was about to say, apparently it means something to the College Playoff Football Committee and nobody else in the world. But, you know, they definitely looked very, very strong. They looked like that team. They looked like that Clemson that could clearly go in and be the touchdown favorite that they were supposed to be. However, never underestimate, like we said, the motivation that can come from a loss like Ohio State experienced last year and then battling through a season where up until November, late, it looked like it wasn't even going to happen. And then you get the opportunity to play. Of course, you are going to fight your way back. And you know, you've seen things in media, especially their local media, all kinds of mantras that they had up this entire season. Once Ohio State knew they were going to play, they were coming for Clemson from the minute they stepped on the field. their week one. So you look at Justin Fields and you look at, you know, the season that he's had, and also all the talk. Trevor Lawrence this, Mac Jones that, Zach Wilson this.
On the broadcast,
Justin Fields. Yeah, exactly.
Please let Trevor Lawrence make an amazing play so we can stroke him for the rest of the game, please.
Yes.
That's what it seemed like.
But yet, the guy whose ribs got pretty much destroyed in the game is the guy who literally was picked up off the turf and willed himself and his team to a win.
Yeah, and that's what kind of got me thinking about this thing, right? Because even though Justin Fields played great, I was sitting there watching that game last night saying, I'm not shocked. This is how I feel he should be playing. This is the expectation that I have for Justin Fields because of what he has done in the past. And I think a lot of times coming into this game, you know, the way he played against Northwestern, the way he played against Indiana, you know, he had some pretty bad games, but we're talking about two games. You know, and he has a lot of tape, a lot of film that shows us that he is a capable, more than capable NFL quarterback, and he should at least be in the conversations for the best quarterback. We know Trevor Lawrence is the number one guy, right?
Yeah.
If you pick Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence, your job is going to be on the hot seat if he doesn't perform. That's for sure. Or you're probably going to be fired if he doesn't perform. But I think he should be in those conversations because I was not surprised at all about the way he played last night.
Yeah, and when we think about it, all the conversation is typically about Trevor Lawrence. But let's be honest. Any quarterback, and it really any offense, any high-powered offense that's worth its weight in gold, whether you look at Alabama or even Notre Dame, but my point being here, you look at Clemson, yeah, Trevor Lawrence is great. But don't forget that he's great because he has Travis Etienne. So once Ohio State found a way to neutralize pretty much Travis Etienne, and then they were able to get their guy going, Trey Sermon, who really came on the back half of that season and gave them a ground game, that also gave Justin Fields the opportunity to show you what he could do in the air as opposed to maybe relying on his legs so much. And I think that's one of the more underrated aspects of this as well, that Ohio State's defense was able to keep Etienne in check pretty much throughout that entire game. And if you're able to keep him to 32 yards on 10 carries, that's also going to put Trevor Lawrence in a situation where he's having to do everything through the air. And if the other quarterback is doing his job and the other running back is doing his job, how much more difficult does that make it for Lawrence? How much more pressure does that put on them? And especially when they're also playing from behind.
Yeah, and that's – and when you think about – Trevor Lawrence, you know, when they came down to make that score, and then soon as they scored, here comes Justin Fields. Like, nope, not today. We're gonna keep this thing. We're gonna keep that foot on the gas pedal for sure. From a tempo standpoint, even during the game last night, we were talking about how, you know, a lot of times when you get up like that, you want to start running the football, slowing the pace down. Nope, not Ryan Day. Right, and that's all. You got to give Ryan Day credit too, because they had an amazing game plan for Brett Venables for sure.
They called a nice game against Brett Venables, yes,
to be able to keep that pace up, that tempo going on offense, even when you're up 2 to 3 scores. That was something. That was a sight to see. Speaking of a sight to see, right? So you know everybody talking about how Justin Fields played, but there's another little caveat to this game also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Justin Fields used to play at Georgia, right?
Yeah.
He was here. He was down here. And I know a lot of people feel a certain type of way about how the Justin Fields situation went down.
Sure.
And I'm one of them. Because I tweeted this out last night that I'm glad that Justin Fields was able to understand and pick up the Ohio State's offense.
Yes.
And because there were some things coming out about George that he wasn't able to pick up the offense. And every time Justin Fields got in the game, he never threw the football for some odd reason. And I'm just like, okay, why is that the case?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to hear the rumblings, oh, well, he might not be able to pick up the offense, or he might not be able to understand what's going on and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, all he did was transfer and throw for 30 touchdowns. Like, he's only thrown like 9 picks in his entire career.
Yeah.
So I think he has a pretty good grasp of what's going on at Georgia. But I wonder this. Do you think that Georgia fans looked at that game and was like, wow, maybe Jake Fromm should have sat down.
How can you not? How can you not take a look at that when literally you're excited about a three-point win against Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl?
A group of five schools,
good,
by the way.
Right, and it's good, but you almost, like you said, you almost got by a group of five school. Meanwhile, everybody in the country is salivating over the marquee matchup, the nightcap, Justin mm-hmm. Fields and Ohio State. And yes, people may feel some type of way about how he parted ways with Georgia, although it seems like, you know, all is well between Georgia and him. But I think that at the end of the day, if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm always wondering, what if? Like, what could that have been? Because now you're talking about back-to-back years in which Justin Fields leads his team to the college football playoff, and then this year he actually gets them a step further in the title game. So whether you're a Georgia fan in Athens looking back, wondering what could have been, or you're a Falcons fan thinking about what could be the future, you can't deny that Justin Fields, it's not a fluke, like Notre Dame. It's not a fluke. It's not a fake. He's the real deal. He's shown it over these last two seasons, and I can't wait to see what he's going to show against Alabama on next Monday. When we come back, it's going to be time for the Rapid Fire at 40, where we're going to talk about some of the not-so-smart folks in 2020. We're going to talk about
a move.
I know, right? I tried to be nice about that. I did. And we're going to talk about a nice move. We think, Jarvis and I think, it's a nice move for a former offensive coordinator for the Falcons. And then we're going to talk about the fact that just like Father Time is chasing Jarvis and I down, that's why we're running to this gym. It's also chasing one of those Manning boys down. So you can follow us on social media, as always, at 92.9 The Game, at Jarvis Davis 90, at Tanitra Batiste. You can call us or text us at 404-741-0929. And you can listen to us on the radio.com app when we return. It's the show on 92.9 The Game.
Now back to the show with Tanitra and Jarvis on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You can always tell when somebody from the East Coast is in a building, because when something like this comes on, you just see a head. Go, go, go. It's Shahi in the building along with Dylan. They are going to be our production team for tonight's Hawks-Cavs game. Pre-game coverage tips off at 7. The game tips at 7:30 right here on 92.9 The Game. In the meantime, Jarvis Davis and I will take you up to pre-game coverage with our rapid fire at the 40. And you know, Jarvis, it's all about those end of the year lists. Some are good, some are not so good, right? But we're going to talk about the not so good one. Idiot of the year honorable mention. So Deadspin does this list every year. And I'm just saying what they said. I'm not calling anybody an idiot, but they usually pick.
But I'm naming an article, right?
Yeah, it's just, I'm just sharing what Deadspin has shared. So they are basically calling out 50 idiots in 2020. That's what they do. But apparently 2020 was so chock full of idiots, they had to go back and create an honorable mention list. So I'm going to drop some of these names, and I'm going to drop why they made the honorable mention on the idiot list, and then you tell me your reaction. So let's kick it off with Adam Gase. Adam Gase, who couldn't even execute a proper tank job for the Jets.
You know what? When you think about Adam Gase, like, I'll take you all the way back to the opening presser for him, like when his eyes was going all over the place. Yes. And, you know, this not a personal attack on you, Adam, but you look like you were on drugs. Like, I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, when you think about, he was just so weird. And you're trying to think about how in the world that a guy with a losing record as a head coach literally just
got fired
from that team, right? And fails up and gets and becomes the head coach of the New York Jets. Well, you know what? That actually kind of makes sense, because since the New York Jets are a horribly bad organization. Yeah, Sean Thompson, I said it, and you know it too. Like,
yeah,
come on,
it's 2021,
so it's time to admit it. And then once you admit, you know, your faults and all thing, and put everything out there, I think that's when you start to get better. But for Adam Gase to get another job, have another anemic offense and start to get rid of a hole, it was the same thing. Like, he got rid of all the stars, all the people who were ballers, traded them away and all that stuff. I'm gonna get my guy type of guys in here, and all of them were bums. And you were horrible. And he's done the same thing with the Jets. And And I think he knew more than likely that he's going to get fired at the end of this season. It hasn't happened yet, but, you know, the reports are that he's going to get fired. And, you know, so why would he tank? You know, why would he help that team out to get the number one, get the best quarterback prospect in the last 10 years?
Yeah, he is. He's so, I mean, Gase is going to Gase. That's really all you can say. Gase is going to Gase. So Nate Robinson, for not choosing better friends that would have talked him out of receiving an all-time butt whipping. That's why you. That's why you're supposed to have BFFs. They're the ones that talk you off the ledge.
I mean, my whole thing is like, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people, especially as of late. Like, boxing and fighting are two totally, totally different things. Because I took up boxing, you know, I thought I was in shape. You know, I had dropped a little few pounds and everything. You know, trying to continue my weight loss, so I signed up at Decatur Boxing. I think Nia was doing some taking some lessons over there. My producer just got hired on. Shout out to Nia. Yeah, and yeah, no doubt. Happy New Year to you. And when you're talking about doing 30-second rounds or 1-minute rounds of just sparring or doing, you know, jabbing for 30 seconds to a minute, you're talking about tiring. And you're talking about the amount of stamina you have to have as a boxer.
Oh my God.
Just breaking it all the way down to how you breathe. And for Nate Robinson, just because you played in the NBA, and, you know, he's pretty good at football, too. Mm-hmm. So he jokes about him possibly making it to the NFL as a corner. I mean, that's possible. Yeah, that type of athleticism transfers. We see that a lot. But to talk about getting in a ring and actually boxing somebody and not having a strategy, and then you get your behind knocked out. You talking about memes and gifs galore. Oh, my God. It was just absolutely amazing. So, yeah. Shout out to him for being an honorable mention, for sure.
Yeah, because you definitely – that was an idiot move. That was a bonehead move by all sorts of stretches of the imagination. Another one that was interesting, but
Before you move on, T, I'll just ask you just one question, then we'll move on. We don't have to discuss it. Can Nate Robinson go back to the hood?
Oh, yeah. Now, he didn't get his card revoked. Now, his card may have been suspended. Yeah, his card may have been suspended for a little while, but that's not a revocation. I don't think that's a revocation offense because, I mean, you got in there and you tried. You know, that's like when you have to fight Debo.
Yeah, the ego play it out right.
Right. Yeah, that's like when you have to fight Debo and you're like, you know you're going to get your head
rest
cracked.
In peace.
But then,
by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. But then you actually get in and fight. Like, well, you try to fight Debo. I mean, maybe you get in a swing or two. Yeah, like you're going to get some cred for that. You're going to get some street cred for that. So, I mean, no, it was suspended. I think he's gotten it back by virtue of, well, heck, he's alive in 2021. So, in case you want to go back in the ring.
COVID free. So, right. Yeah, you can't complain.
Exactly. So, if you want to try this thing again, you could actually do that. And one more, which I remember seeing the video for this, and I honestly don't think it was the QB's fault. But Graham Mertz, QB for Wisconsin, took some serious L's for shattering the team's Mayo Bowl prize, right? But nobody went after the trophy company because, I mean, he didn't do anything that was that egregious. He just kind of tipped over the table, right? And you could hear the thing just kind of shatter in 1,000 pieces. But my thing is, Trophy Corporation, do better. Make a product that is actually worthy of a little tip over. You know, and let's be done with this. Like, why go in on Graham Mertz? Or just make another one and let's just all move on. But I think the corporation is the one that should be held accountable, not necessarily Graham Mertz, for having a good time for winning the Mayo Bowl. I mean, it's
I mean, come on, man. Like what are we doing here? Yeah. Like, these guys just won
people
quarterback.
People went in on him about that trophy.
Like, come on, man, what are we doing? Like, make a trophy that doesn't splatter.
Yeah,
like,
that's what
make
I said.
One that
going
you know that's not going to so fragile. I'm like, that y'all had that many cutbacks that y'all had to go cheap on a trophy. Like, I mean, I'm confused. Like, come on, man. Like, if he makes a mistake, oh well. Y'all have plenty of money to go ahead and get another one done. So, I mean, let's just be honest.
Right. And you can't take away the bowl win at the end of the day.
I'm like, yeah, come on now. But speaking of having plenty of money, how about this, T? You know Tom Herman got fired today, right?
Fired.
He got fired. And they went through an extensive coaching search.
Yes.
And hired Steve Sarkisian 5 hours later.
Right.
what is going on in college football? Because, you know, because a lot of times, you know, the conversations were coming into the season with the pandemic going on. A lot of coaches are going to be safe this year because athletic departments are tightening up. And here you go, Texas cutting a check for $15 million to Tom Herman personally and $24 million for his entire staff.
Yeah.
To get rid of him. And you just, when you think about that, that is just like, wow. Because the AD came out in early December and said he is the coach of the Texas, like, which is a very weird endorsement. He got the kiss of death.
Right.
And they went on ahead and fired him and replaced him with Steve Sarkisian.
Listen, you're talking about Texas, where everything is bigger in
some
Texas.
Oil money. Yeah, like, come on.
And you're talking about Texas A&M sitting there, and I feel like Texas A&M is going to go in tonight. Like, they're going to go for blood because they want to prove a point that fourth seat should have been theirs and not Notre Dame's in the college football playoff. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because Jimbo Fisher he's an architect, right?
Yeah.
And Texas, of course, is always in the top three top four as far as recruiting for football in this country. And so you've got UT in Austin vying for that top talent. You've got Texas A&M and College Station vying for that top talent. And Jimbo Fisher making the case every single week this season about why you should come to Texas A&M. That Texas fan base was not going to sit there idly by and just wait to kind of see what happened. They were going to go for somebody big splash, and they were going to go for somebody who they knew, especially when you talk about the Big 12, somebody who they knew could give them the type of offensive firepower that could help them hang with Oklahoma and keep Oklahoma honest. So to me, it makes perfect sense because it's Texas. Texas, and I'm talking about not just the university, but the state of Texas, they go big or they don't go at all. And when you're coming after what Jimbo Fisher is starting to solidify in with Texas A&M, you need a name like a Steve Sarkisian with the resume to back it up. I like it. I like it for the Longhorns.
And I like it too because when you think about it, Tom Herman has a punchable face and Steve Sarkisian doesn't.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. So listen, guys, it has been real as always. You know, we keep it all the way real on this show. That's what we do. And if you want to see where else we keep it real, well, you should probably go to Twitter because that's where we live and breathe and keep it real as well. At JarvisD90, at Tanitra Batiste, those same handles for us on Instagram. If you want to follow us there as well, of course, you can follow the station at 92.9 The Game. And listen, you don't want to go away. You want to hang tight because the Hawks have a great game coming up with the Cavs. Pre-game coverage starts at 7, the tip at 7:30 right here on 92.9 The Game. I know I'm going to hop in my car and listen to Steve Holman, Mike Conti, and company give it to us straight right here on these airwaves. Thanks for listening. I think we'll be back next weekend, right, Dylan? Right, Jarvis?
Yeah, that's what's going down.
Appreciate you guys listening. Enjoy it. Hawks, Cavs coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.